Will you just look with me to the book of Revelation, to chapter 5, and verses 11 and 12 I read, but there are just a few words in verse 12. So Revelation 5:11, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing." And that was joined by every creature in heaven, the next verse tells us. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. This is the glorious theme of heaven. This is the glorious theme of eternity. And the emphasis is on slain. Slain, of course, means killed, but it means killed in the line of duty, killed in war, killed by murder, slain out of due time, not dying a natural death. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, the slain nature of his life, the nature of his death is the key matter of praise in heaven. We do need to understand it. John said to the first disciples, "Behold," pointing to Jesus, "the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And for many, many, many years before that time, God had provided that there should be thousands of lambs, lambs for everybody. They should be young, they should be male, they should be perfect, without blemish, so that people might learn as daily part of their lives that sin could only be atoned for by the slaying of an innocent victim. And all that was a build-up to Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. No more need of sacrifices any longer. No more need of the slaying of lambs any longer. Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Jesus is the perfect, without blemish, Lamb of God, never sinned. And he it is who is provided to take away the sin of the world. We are sinners. If we believe, then our sins will be taken away. Jesus is the friend of sinners. Why should he not befriend us? Why should we not befriend him? So, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. When Jesus was about to die, he said, cried out, "It is finished." But the world isn't finished, it still exists. We weren't alive then, but we're alive now. What was finished? What happened that was the single most important thing that has ever happened in the whole wide world? Finished. God is love, but the Bible also says God is angry with the wicked every day. We, of course, say that we are not wicked, and we think of those who do much worse things than we do. But that is comparative thinking. It's not real thinking. None of you who are young would dream of saying to the face of the head teacher at school, I'm not going to do what you say. You wouldn't dream of it. The Lord has given 10 commandments which must never be disobeyed. And when we don't obey them, it's like saying to God face to face, I despise you, I hate you, I'm going to do what I want to do. That's going to dominate my life. So I won't go to church on the Lord's Day, despite the fact that you said, remember the Lord's Day to keep it holy. I will steal, despite the fact that you said I shouldn't steal. I will lie, despite the fact that you said I shouldn't lie. God is angry with sin. And we are sinners. It affects every single one of us. Sometimes God is very, very, very merciful. We're not really aware that he's cross. We're not really aware that he's angry. But just sometimes it shows through that he is particularly angry with us, that it might be a warning towards us. We see other people have accidents. We see other people die. We see other people go through all sorts of situations. We say it'll never happen to us, but it's a warning to us to be saved before it's too late. So what did Jesus finish on Calvary? Well, the word is atonement. Atonement. There is coming a day of judgment which will be payback time. All that we've ever done will be brought before the eyes of God in our presence and the appropriate punishment dished out. But the word atonement means that that price has been paid. It has been paid for us, and it has been paid by another. That wrath is not only just that we believe, we must believe, but there is a wrath hanging over the heads of every single person who has ever lived until they put their trust in Christ. What the Lord Jesus finished on the cross of Calvary was he completed the payment for all our sins. All our sins of every single believer. We call it limited atonement. That is to say, this atonement is not given to everybody, only those sins are paid for that Jesus died for on Calvary and for those who believed that it was for them that he died. The Lord Jesus had never sinned. The Lord Jesus represented his Father as fully God. The Father has chosen out of a sinful race some who will belong to him. It's not unfair. I know very well that if God hadn't moved in my heart, I would never have moved for myself. And no one of mankind would ever have moved for themselves, by themselves, to apologize to God, to confess their sin to God. But if you just carried on. So it's very generous of the Lord to save some And we don't ask who the some are. The gospel which we hear preached, the believing in that gospel with all our heart, the turning to Christ, is the proof that we are his. So we come to confess our sins, to throw them on the Lord Jesus, to beseech him that he took them away. He finished with them all. They're finished in the sight of the Father, even though we still continue a little. I'm not the only one. Husbands, love your wives. I love my wife. But it's not because of what she does for me, it's because she loves me. Next to Christ, that is the most important thing in my life. That a woman finds it in her heart to love me. She knows that I put up with any time when she gets a little tired of me being as I am. For that love, I would forgive her everything. And if you've been through that experience, you surely know what I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on Calvary for love for those who will believe to take away their sins. And those who throw the trust of their whole lives, their whole soul, their whole beings upon the Lord Jesus Christ, they do so because they are loved by God. Fancy being loved by God. Fancy being loved by the Creator of the world. Fancy being known before the creation of the world, long before we were thought of, and cared for, and to send his Son to die for. What a wonderful thing. And the way to God, who is so wonderfully to be adored, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because none of us can come into God's presence as we are born by nature. Unless there's been this great change. Unless the Lord has touched our hearts. Unless the Lord has opened our hearts to love him. And for that love that we put upon Christ, the Lord forgives everything. The Lord counts it to us for righteousness that we love and trust his dearly beloved Son. That all he came to go through, all the pain which he endured physically, and in his soul and mentally, which we're not allowed even to look into. But if we love his Son, and why God sent him for that, God forgives us all. And that's how the payment, the atonement for sin is made. It's not something we can take brashly. Oh, God will forgive me. He won't. He will. He sent the Saviour to be the Saviour of the world and to forgive. But that's rather different from saying, oh yeah, you'll just forgive me. And again, if you think to yourself, I'm all right, I'm not too bad. I'll talk to God and say to him, I did this, I did that. I'll point to somebody else and say, I'm better than that person, surely. God won't allow that. He won't have that. We're not able to say anything or produce anything that we can do to save us. It's all of grace, undeserved love, coming from nowhere. You all know that I was not born to a believing home. I think most of you have heard me say that I actually can't think of anyone who in that situation would ever have prayed for me. Now, there might have been, of course. But you see what that means, don't you? If I'm saved, it's all of grace. It's all of God's doing. It's because he loves, because he cares. And to achieve that atoning power, he agreed with his son that his son would die to pay the price of the curse, to pay the price of sin. And if you say, well, I've done some things good, it's too late. What about the things you did before? Jesus loves those who throw their trust upon him. He died for them. He died in order that those people who trust him should be saved. He loves them. And he loves each one of us. And what draws me, and I hope you do, but what draws me head over heels in love with the Lord Jesus Christ is simply that he valued me. Count up the number of people in this world that you know actually care for you. Out of all the millions, billions there are in the world, we're like a little fish in an ocean, aren't we? And if somebody doesn't look after us, there's nobody. But the Lord Jesus looks after our souls, the souls of every believer. So, he loves those who love his son. He counts it to them for righteousness, perfection, if you like. We're not perfect yet, but we will be. He counts it to us because we love his son. It's the most amazing thing in all the world. It is, of course, the thing that marks off Christianity from every other religion, that we serve a living Saviour. He died, but he rose again. He died to triumph over our sin. He died to have the right voluntarily given him by us to own our lives. So we love the Lord Jesus. I suppose when we look at the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, we feel ourselves to be cowards. Could you bear nails driven through your feet, through your hands, the whipping on your back, the plucking of a beard, if you have a beard, so that the hair comes out? I wouldn't like to go through that. And if it were necessary for me to have a place with God in heaven, that he should go through that, I'm so grateful. That and the eternal love and the grace of God makes me. I'm a nobody. But if the Lord says I'm a king and a priest to him, then I am a king and a priest to him. But in and of myself by nature, I don't count. I've never known a politician who counts me, even counts my votes except for 5 minutes. I've never known a teacher really who cared for me because I wasn't that hard worker. But the Lord Jesus on behalf of the Father, and through the work of the Spirit brings us to that place where we understand that the Lord Jesus has brought pardon by paying for our sins in a terrible way. It makes me think how terrible sin must be. If the Lord has cursed the earth for the sin of Adam and Eve, the one sin of going against what he said do, and it was so important, it was important, because you can't have that in heaven anymore. But if he's done that, what a wonderful thing it is. This same God should have provided for all those who believe in him, and I'm thinking personally, that we should be saved, that we should be acceptable, that the curse should be removed of our lives. Like those ancient Jews who put the blood of the Lamb on their doorposts. When the death came, they were passed over. The angel of death didn't touch them. And when we shelter under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the angel of eternal death will not touch us. The scripture says, I love the Lord. There is a reason why I have always disliked O-level and A-level religious studies. There is a reason why I disliked scripture examinations. I did, as you know, 188 papers between GCSE, and I know what examinations are like. And the Christian faith is not like examination. It's not like a school. It's not another subject. It's the devotion to the person of the Saviour, who brings us into the presence of the Father through the work of the Spirit. Fancy loving me. You may say, fancy loving me like that. Makes you matter. Makes you belong. It doesn't matter what other people say. But if the Lord Jesus Christ has died for my sins, and I have repented of them and asked him to bear that punishment on my behalf, which he's done, then that's the most wonderful thing that could happen. We love the souls of children. That's why we preach the gospel to children, so that they may believe while they're children. If they believe later, that's fine, but they've lost 30 years, perhaps. But there's nothing more wonderful than this world affords. It's good to look at Calvary, but it didn't end there. The Lord has power to raise from the dead. He has the right, and he will raise all those who love him. It's a wonderful faith. It's the only thing that counts when things are very difficult. Certainly the only thing that counts at the time of impending death. I would beseech you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Never coldly turn away from sacred Calvary. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn.